I'm excited to share what the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about this week. I'm going to do my best not to be super emotional, but I've also not made through this practice without crying once. So, it is. So, I do thank you all in advance for your grace that you're going to show me. But to start off, let's go ahead and pray. God, our Father, you are in heaven. You are holy. You are King of all. Your desires will be done on earth just like they are in heaven. Please take care of us, our daily needs, our spiritual needs, and our mental needs. Forgive us, Father, as we forgive those who wrong us. Lead us where you would like us to go, and save us from sin and evil. You have the power to do these things, as this is the world you created. You will receive the glory now and forever and ever and ever. Amen. Well, we're going to stay in Romans today, so we're actually going to be in Romans 11, 33 through Romans 12, 2. I'm going to start off by reading that. I'm going to read out of the CSV version, again, Romans 11, 33 through Romans 12, 2. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will lead and teach us and guide us. Amen. So, in pattern of everything that we've done before, I am going to share a little bit of my testimony, a part of my story where I, this week, it really stuck out to me that these verses from Romans really parallel with my life. So, here we go. When I was 11 and 12, my life seemed extremely chaotic to me. My family was going through a transition period where my parents had to make a decision of who was the authority in their lives. Were people the authority or was God the authority? And that resulted in a lot of conversations and a lot of high stress feelings in conversations between my parents and between the people who were involved in my parents' lives. So between my family, between my church family, between my parents' friends, between my aunts and uncles and my grandparents. And as an 11 and 12 year old, how I interpreted that was that the people who were supposed to have the wisdom, who were supposed to have the knowledge, who were supposed to have the answers, didn't. And as an 11 and 12-year-old, that was extremely frustrating to me. So I reacted in a bit of anger and a bit of confusion and a bit of isolation. My tendency when I am in a situation that is uncomfortable is I tend to try and take care of people's needs, and I will hyper-focus on others and put my head in the sand when anything else comes that has to do with me. So my 11 and 12-year-old years were extremely lonely for me. I didn't make friends at school. I didn't have friends at church. It was pretty much me and my family, and I was very engaged in their emotional turmoil, in their emotional and spiritual turmoil. And it was awful. It got to the point where there were tears multiple times a week, and just the frustration level that you feel when there's nothing that you can control. There was nothing that I could do as a child, as a young woman, to change anything about my situation. I felt powerless, and I felt like the people who were supposed to have power, who were supposed to know what to do, and who were supposed to be able to influence change, could do nothing. And it felt like I was trapped, felt like a prison. That's to set the stage. When I was 12, so this is like a year and a half into my 11 and 12 life, my parents, for reasons unbeknownst to me, decided to go with a group of their friends, some who are here, to a walk through Bethlehem. which we've never been to. We've never done anything like that in my life. So what it was is we went to a church, and a church had opened up their doors and had redone part of their exterior to look like Bethlehem. So they had vendors, they had stables, they had people who were dressed up to look like they were in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. They had people running around going, oh my gosh, have you heard about the Roman census? Why are there so many people here? Have you seen the star? Hey, there's a pregnant lady who's over in this barn because there's no room for her at the inn. And there was just such an excitement around it that as a 12-year-old, I was really drawn into that whole experience. And as we're walking through this stable, this environment of Bethlehem, we eventually get to this off room where there's Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. It was a baby lying in a manger. And it gets quiet. All the town knows this outside. And inside, Mary and Joseph, the actors who are playing them, give a little testimony of what they've gone through. They talk about how the angels have told them who Jesus is, who God is. They talk about how they're pondering things in their heart. They talk about how the prophets spoke of this child. And they talk about how they don't quite know what this is going to look like. There are still some questions. And Mary talked a lot about how she was pondering things in her heart, which, as we read through the Gospels, that phrase, she pondered these things in her heart, is there all the time. So then, I'm a little dramatic, the lights go down, and all of a sudden, this other light comes up on the side, and there's an angel there. And it was just a woman dressed like an angel, and she actually didn't talk. There was a voiceover that came over, and honestly, I have no idea what she said. No idea at all. All I know is that when she was done talking, the lights went down on her, and straight in front, the lights came up and they backlit across. Again, I have no idea what was said in that time, because what I do remember is in those moments, that was when the Holy Spirit was talking to me. And in those moments, it was, Micah, you feel like your life's out of control. I can control it. I am in control. Do you want me to control it? And in that moment, that's when I accepted Jesus' sacrifice and became a Christian and let the Holy Spirit take my life. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Amen for him for sure. I will say my life got infinitely worse after that moment. It was very tumultuous. We'll come back to that. But there's a certain amount of my story there that I really see reflected in this Romans 11 and Romans 12 passage. I did not understand, and if I'm honest, I still really don't understand why my family went through what we went through. It does not make sense to me. But I look and I see Romans 11:33 say things like, oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his ways. For who has known his mind, or who has been his counselor, and who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? Those are three questions there that are rhetorical, and the answer is no one. No one has known the mind of the Lord. We just don't know what he thinks sometimes. Who has been his counselor? Who's given him advice? No, God doesn't need advice from me. He doesn't need advice from any of us. And who has ever given to God that he should be repaid? So who's ever given something to God, but then God owes them for what you gave to God? And the answer is no one. Like, there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that you can do to earn anything from God. There's no wisdom or knowledge or experience that I have that I can give to God that's going to change God's perspective. And that's when this giant light bulb went off on me this week. God knows all things and has always known all things, including my human dynamic. And you all might have known this, but this was where the giant light bulb was for me this week. In another part of my life, I went to school to be an educator, and there's this concept called scaffolding. And basically what it says is when you teach something, there are different layers. So when you have a sentence, you have a noun and a verb. That's pretty basic. The barn is red. A verb that is, the adjective's red, the noun is barn. But you can build on that. You can add prepositional phrases. You can add past participles. You have modifiers. You have dependent and independent clauses. It keeps going up and up and up and up. And as humans, we have to learn those different levels. And this week, it just kind of popped me. God doesn't have scaffolding lessons. He can teach us in those different layers, but God knows all of them. He just does. That's part of who he is, because he created the world. And there was just a lot of comfort to me this week in that, because I don't understand what I went through. I might never understand why I went through what I went through, or my family went through what we went through. There is a peace that comes from just knowing that God knows. And I think that comes from the Romans 12, 1 and 2 passages. So I'm going to read Romans 1 and 2. Sorry, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I have you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by renewing your mind, so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. So, living sacrifice is saying no to who I am and saying yes to God's calling. It's that surrender, right, of when we give ourselves to God and let him use us. I'm saying no to me constantly. I'm saying no to my knowledge. I'm saying no to what I think should happen. I'm saying no to the conversations that I want to happen. I'm saying no to that quick response where I can tell someone, this is what you did was wrong, and it hurt me. Sometimes it means I lean into that, but it's all on God's prompting. It's not me, but I have to. God's calling me to be transformed by his Holy Spirit to do his good and perfect and pleasing will. To do God's will. And I have a verse over my door, that's Micah 6:8, which tells me what God wants. And I as a person interpret what God's will is and what God wants kind of be the same thing. And Micah 6:8 says that the Lord requires of us to do this: to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Which goes back to the Romans 12, 2, of living your life as a living sacrifice, that's our act of worship. And that's what God's calling us to. And there are times, I'm not going to lie, that's really, really difficult for me to do. It's really difficult for me to say, God, I'm going to trust your knowledge. I'm going to trust your wisdom more than me, and I'm looking directly at a situation. I know he's there with me, but I'm looking at a situation and going, I think this about this situation, and God coming in and going, but that's not necessarily what God sees and what God knows in this situation. Proverbs 9:12 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I don't think there'll ever be a time when I understand why I went through, or what I'm going through now, or what I go through in the future, but I do know that God says that knowing him is the beginning of knowledge and is the beginning of wisdom. And I know that the Holy Spirit uses that knowledge and wisdom from God that has no depths, that he uses that to transform our minds and to make us more like the people he wants us to be. So, we're going to talk about wisdom this morning. There's some questions. I'm going to pray us out to our small groups, but then I have one slight instruction to clear confusion. Father, you are constant. You are all-knowing, and you are wise. You apply your knowledge wonderfully and beautifully. God, we do not always understand why we are in situations we are in, or what's going to happen with these situations, but Father, we trust who you are. We trust your character. We trust what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do, that you're going to do it all for your glory. In your name, amen.
There was a slight hiccup with communication. I think it was Micah's fault. And Wes was originally going to share. So some of you had questions emailed to you that are different than the topics we just talked about. So there should be white 8x12 papers at the corner, kind of by hand. There's some by Jody and there's some by Lisa, if you all want questions. And then there's the scriptures that we talked about, plus the bonus one from James. Have fun.